You know, we're here tonight to start off a week-long period of intercession for the upcoming elections. And one of the things that kind of struck me prior to, just before coming out here a little while ago, is that it's very possible that we might be the only church in this nation that is gathered together tonight to intercede for these elections. We may be the only ones. In fact, there's a possibility we may be the only group of people on this entire planet gathered together this night at this moment to intercede on behalf of the future of the United States of America. Now let that sink in. Now I'm not saying we are. I have no way of knowing. I'm just saying here it is, not quite a year away from the elections, almost 1 year away from those elections, and we're entering into intercession about this. It's possible that no other church in this country has scheduled times of intercession like this at this early stage. I don't know. There may have been churches having a weekly intercession for the elections for the last 2 years. I don't know. But what I'm trying to do is emphasize that what we're doing here tonight, this is urgent. And this is extremely important. If you remember, there was a prophecy that came forth months ago. And in this prophecy, it stated that there was a voice that was going to rise up and that the voice would be very convincing. A lot of people would, you know, fall for what was being said and so on and so forth. And once that prophecy came out, there were a lot of people who came to me and said, well, I'll tell you who I think it is. And basically, everybody said the same person. And I don't have to give that name, and I won't give that name, but every one of you know who I'm talking about. Because most of you came to me and said, I think it's that person. I got emails from people, I think it's this, so-and-so, and what do you think? I said, well, however, within the last 2 weeks, another voice has risen. And it's a voice that has not, it's been known, but not that well known. And this voice appears to speak for the conservatives. However, I visited a website and I took a look and listened very closely to what this particular candidate was saying and stood for. And I can tell you right now that if you listen closely to what this person is saying, this person is extremely dangerous as far as this country is concerned. Now, I'm not going to give you the name here. When the service is over, you want to come to me and ask me, I'll tell you. But I'm not going to tell you here publicly because we just don't want to risk issues, okay? But the thing that concerns me is that there are Christians who are jumping on the bandwagon of this candidate. And they're not listening closely to what this person is saying. And it concerns me because this person is going to get some votes. I guarantee you. He's going to get some votes, and he's going to be getting some votes from people who are conservatives and who are Christians but do not know enough about this individual. And it may be that this individual I'm speaking of right now is that voice that was prophesied. I don't know for sure. It just wouldn't surprise me. But we have a responsibility as believers to get involved in this. And first and foremost, our involvement, it's got to be spiritual. In Psalm 33, verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." So basically, God is making a declaration that my standards are going to hold true for every generation, and I don't care how many thousands of years generations exist, my standards are going to exist. The very next verse says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." So He says, first off, my standards are going to exist for all generations. Now, you don't have to accept them, and you don't have to believe them, but my standards are going to exist for all generations. And the first thing I want to remind you of is the fact that the nation whose God is the Lord is going to be a blessed nation. Just because we print "In God We Trust" on our money does not mean that the Lord is our God. And I think you can all understand that because of the things that we have seen. When the Lord is truly the God of a nation and the God of the people that oversee that nation, they will make rules and laws and so forth that honor God, that honor Him. Well, we know that hasn't happened. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Who would God call wicked? Anybody who does not stand up for what He has said in His Word. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or anything else. If you don't stand up for what He has declared, His standards, then God would consider that wicked. Who would He call righteous? The people that stand up for His Word and His standards and do what He has said in His Word. And He says, listen, when the righteous are in authority, the people are going to rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And there's been a lot of mourning that's gone on in this nation for several years and for decades. There's been a lot of mourning that has been going on. In Proverbs chapter 11, or in Psalm chapter 11, in verse 2, it says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." So here what we're seeing is that the wicked are planning and carrying out attacks against the upright. The very next verse says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" So if the wicked are shooting at the upright, if the wicked are shooting at the righteous, and then it says if the foundations are destroyed, how are the foundations destroyed? If you take down the righteous, you take down the foundations. Now look what's happened in this country. You know, it's not about political parties. It is all about righteousness versus wickedness. That's what it comes down to. And the wicked have been firing their arrows. And they've been doing everything they can to take down the righteous. And they've actually gotten help from the camp of Christianity when Christians stand up and say, Christians have no business in politics. God says when the righteous are in authority, the nation is blessed, it's a happy nation, the people rejoice. Therefore, the righteous are supposed to be involved. This is God's standard that He's given to us. And He says, listen, if you don't do something, the wicked are going to keep shooting and keep shooting. They're shooting at you. You need to understand this. And if you don't do something to counteract all of this shooting that they're doing at you, the foundations are going to be destroyed, and then what are you going to do? And a lot of people are going to blame God and are blaming God for the problems that we're in when the body of Christ has had the ability the whole time to stand up and do what is right. We haven't done that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes and says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now what is this verse telling us? It's telling us that God expects us to intercede for the people who are in authority, and it doesn't matter if they're wicked or righteous. You say, well, how do you get that? Because He says it's the will of God for all men to be saved. Now, why would we pray for people to be saved if they're already saved? Do you see what I'm saying? Therefore, we are supposed to intercede for the people who are in authority, and it does not matter if they are atheists, liberals, conservatives, holy rollers, it doesn't matter. God has given us an instruction to intercede. In essence, what He's saying here is this. Part of what is being said here. If you as the body of Christ will do this, then you are going to start seeing the unsaved in positions of authority come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So is it possible, for example, is it possible that if the body of Christ had not turned on President Clinton, but instead had done this, he could have been saved in office. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Likewise, regardless of who wins this next election, we need to intercede. We need to intercede now for the candidates because they are in a place of authority, even right now. We need to intercede for the people at all levels. And God says, if you do this, it's going to lead to a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And it doesn't matter what they believe. It matters what you believe. We as the body of Christ. So we have this responsibility, and it's something that we're supposed to do and something that God expects us to do. And if we don't do it, then we can be held responsible and will be held responsible before Him. Now, am I saying that what we are doing here tonight is going to turn the tide? Well, you know what? Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, there was an evangelist back in the, I think it was the 50s, and I believe his name was Tommy Burns. He was an Assembly of God evangelist down in Argentina. Well, he was going to be holding some crusades. And there were some people that gathered together at a university in Argentina. And I don't know offhand, I don't recall if it was a Christian university or secular or what, but it was summer break for that school. And they were gathered together in a meeting room. And they were praying about the country, praying about the crusade, so on and so forth, praying for a move of God. And one of the men in this meeting, there were maybe 10 people in that room. They had been praying for a while, and one of the men said, you know, I don't understand this, but I just feel like what I'm supposed to do right now is take my fist and pound on this table. And the others in the room said, well, if you think that's what you're supposed to do, then go ahead and do it. So that one man just began to pound on that table with his fist, just began to pound on his table. And the rest were still praying and calling on the name of Jesus. And he just was pounding on that table. And what they did not know was happening. As he was pounding on that table, the people walking on the sidewalk in front of that building began to fall out under the power of God. And the people around that building began to fall out in the power of God. Well, long story short, that led to a spiritual breakthrough in Argentina that brought about what is now referred to as the greatest revival to ever hit that nation. Because one group, small handful of people, maybe about the same number as what's here tonight, gathered together in a room, and one man obeyed God. Now, am I saying that we need to pound on the pews and get a breakthrough? No, I'm not. And guard your emotions in these things, okay? What I'm saying is, don't take lightly the fact that we're here for this. Don't take lightly what might happen as a result of this one night in this room at this point in time in all of recorded human history. Do not belittle what could happen here tonight as a result of this. That's how important it is. Now, in just a moment, we're going to open up with this, with the praise and worship. And the last song that we're going to do, it's a song we've never done before, but it's a song that really is a form of intercession to music. And I believe once you hear this, and you'll catch on to it very, very, very quickly, I think you're going to fall in love with this song. And I really believe that you're going to see the hand of God in this song on whoever it was that wrote it. And then after the song, after the worship, I'll come back up here, and we'll go through the confessions. And when the confessions are over, we're going to have another song in worship. So everybody stand. We're going to go through these confessions. If you don't have a copy of the confessions, the new ones that were handed out at the beginning of the service, and you're free to make copies of these if you want to distribute them and so forth. But praise God. Let's just, you know, it's got to be frustrating for the devil to know that all we have to do is just sing and praise out of our hearts and glory gets released. And all we have to do You just speak the word of God. And strongholds come down. And all we have to do is just sit in the pew and just pray in tongues. And an anointing is released. In other words, we don't have to break a sweat. How easy can it get? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's go through these. Father, I come before you on behalf of our nation. We, your children, have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled by departing from the fullness and standards of the truth of your word. We have not paid attention to those you have raised up who speak your truth and called us to repentance. We have not held the pastors and other ministers of your word accountable for their sin and doctrinal error. We have fallen short of your desires. I personally repent for my sin and failure in all these areas. I also ask you to forgive us, your church, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this prayer and choose this place to yourself for a house of sacrifice as I offer to you my own life as a living sacrifice and my praise as the sacrifice of my lips. Choose this house and sanctify it as a holy dwelling place of your presence. May your name and your heart dwell here forever. Father, as you have given me of all sin for Christ's sake, I choose to forgive every person their transgressions against me. Just as you loved me and gave your Son to be the sacrifice for my sins, I recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for all sins committed against me. I love those who committed those sins in the same way that you love both me and them. I ask that you do not hold them accountable for any wrong they have done unto me. Father, please move in our land. Heal our nation. May the glory of your presence be known. Lord, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of our nation. I lift up our president, vice president, Congress, Supreme Court, and all who are in leadership at all levels of government, from the national level to the local level. Please forgive our leaders for their sin and ungodly actions, laws, and positions that are opposed to your word. Touch their lives with your presence. May they all know Jesus in a personal way as Savior and Lord. By faith, I call them born again and filled with your Holy Spirit. I present to you my prayers, my confessions, and my praise and worship. Use it all in the way you want to bring about your will. Release your glory and anointing through me to bring about the changes you desire. Father, I lift up to you the coming elections. Please begin to move on the hearts and minds of the just, unjust, concerning running for president and every other office for which we will vote, whether it be on a national, state, or local level. Begin drawing our attention to those for whom we should vote. May we all see the truth about each candidate. Move in such a fashion that all ungodly and unholy plans and motives will be fully exposed and brought to light. May both those of your church and the lost begin to be drawn to the man you desire to be our next president. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to cause us to vote for the wrong person. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in Jesus' name, I speak to you, spirit of confusion, and I command that you silence your tongue. You will not have an impact on the body of Christ concerning these elections. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests on you. May the man the Father wants as our president be filled with the wisdom of God concerning every decision he makes, including those decisions pertaining to his presidential campaign. May he operate by kingdom knowledge. Holy Spirit, please release a continual flow of anointing upon this man that will help and guide him in the election process. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against this man and against Congress. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against this man shall prosper. I call condemned every tongue that would rise up against him in false judgment. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this ministry, the people of this ministry, the Miami Valley, this nation, and the upcoming elections. None of your plans for stealing, killing, destroying, or interfering with the elections will succeed. I call revival loosed in this ministry in the Miami Valley. I call all the people who God desires to be a part of this ministry loose to be here. I call the Father's will to be accomplished in this ministry and in the upcoming elections. Satan, just as Jesus saw you fall as lightning from heaven, I call you and all your devils fallen from all levels of authority, influence, and interference in this ministry, the lives of the people of this ministry, and the Miami Valley, and the elections. The Father has given me the full revelation and understanding that Jesus has given me power over you, Satan, and all your devils, and all your power. All of you spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. Nothing of yours shall by any means hurt me, my family, this ministry, or the candidates in the elections. You are defeated. Jesus is highly exalted, and in him I am highly exalted. The name of Jesus is above every name. I have inherited the right to use the power and authority in Jesus' name. I bow my life to the Lordship of Jesus. I willingly declare that Jesus is the Lord of every part of my life. Satan, you and all your devils must bow in submission to the name that is above you, the name of Jesus. You cannot rise above the authority of Jesus, and you cannot rise above my authority in Jesus. In Jesus, I have dominion over you. I declare that my life, my family, this ministry, and the Miami Valley are the domain of Christ. I declare that the elections are under the name and lordship of Jesus. I call all your works in all of these areas over. Satan, Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. I thank and praise God that in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in my life, my family, this ministry, the Miami Valley, our nation, and the upcoming elections. Satan, you have lost. The victory of Christ is known in my life, my family, this ministry, the Miami Valley, this nation, and the elections. Father, move upon your church and lay intercession on all those who make themselves available to you for that kind of prayer. Move upon the pastors of your churches that they would call for times of prayer over these elections. I say in Jesus' name that the righteous are in authority and that our nation rejoices. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over this region. You are Lord over this state. You are Lord over this nation. May the glory of the Lord fill this country and may revival fires burn with unprecedented intensity. Satan, you are defeated in my life. Satan, you are defeated in my family. Satan, you are defeated in this ministry. Satan, you are defeated in the Miami Valley. Satan, you are defeated in the United States. Satan, you are defeated in all of the upcoming elections. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of my family. Jesus is the Lord of this ministry. Jesus is the Lord over the Miami Valley. Jesus is the Lord over the United States. Jesus is the Lord over all of the upcoming elections. Just as the Father's will is always being done in heaven, the Father's will is being done in my life. The Father's will is being done in my family. The Father's will is being done in this ministry. The Father's will is being done in the Miami Valley. The Father's will is being done in the United States. The Father's will is being done in the upcoming elections. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, for the next 15 minutes, just begin to pray in the Spirit. And then when that 15 minutes is over, we're going to speak to the nations again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no way to just end it. But this is the official conclusion of the opening service. But we're not done. So you just feel free to do whatever you want. And God bless you and thank you for being a part of this. We're going to change this nation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.